Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, welcoming you back to the New World next week. And joining me again on the line, as always, is my good friend and the co-host, James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. James, thank you for joining us again today.
Thanks so much, man.
All right, well, I guess today we're going to hit up the whole trifecta of Media Monarchy, Food World Order, and Cyberspace War. So why don't we start in with MediaMonarchy.com? What have you got making headlines this week?
Well, this broke last Sunday, and it was one of those stories where each time I checked back in, the story had kind of altered. But we'll take it from the top, from the Los Angeles Times. Al-Qaeda agent held in Pakistan is not Adam Gadan. The American Al-Qaeda operative arrested in Karachi over the weekend was not the Southern California native wanted by the U.S. on treason charges for his involvement in the terror network, Pakistani intelligence officials said Monday. Pakistani security officials initially asserted that the American Islamic extremist they had captured in the country's largest city late Saturday night was Adam Gadan of Riverside, California. However, by early Monday morning, doubts arose about those initial reports. U.S. officials said they were skeptical of those claims and that there was no indication that Gadan was the suspect arrested in Karachi. Later Monday, Pakistani intelligence officials reversed themselves and said the man arrested was actually Abu Yahya Mujahideen Adam, a Pennsylvania native and operative for Al-Qaeda. The intelligence official said Adam had been transferred to Islamabad for interrogation, but would not give any further details. Adam Gadan, or Azam the American, as he is referred to sometimes, age 31, remains at large. He's on the FBI's list of most wanted terrorists and is the first American since World War II era to be charged with treason. He's on, of course, you know, the FBI's most wanted list. He wants to betray the United States. And, of course, he's posting videos, which, again, as all these videos come out, you have to ask yourself, the most wanted terrorist network in the world can release videos and audio recordings and all these things. But if you tried, you know, as a kid to maybe post up some crime spree or some stupid thing you did, you would be picked up in a heartbeat. So that always just kind of calls out the fallacy of all this. So, James, let me throw this to you and you break down a little bit, if you can, here, the story of Adam Gadan and the backstory of Adam Gadan.
Right. Well, Adam Gadan is really Adam Perlman, which was his name before he began his life as an Al-Qaeda operative. And, oh, by the way, he's the grandson of an ADL chief, the ADL being the Anti-Defamation League, which, of course, is the looking for signs of anti-Semitism and trying to combat that, and just happens to have connections to Al-Qaeda. Oh, I wonder how that works. I can't imagine how that works out for the benefit of people who are fighting against anti-Semitism to have, wait, operatives inside of Al-Qaeda? What does that mean? So, again, this points to another layer of the ridiculous nature of what we're being what's being thrust upon us here, which is that when you start to examine the real people behind these characters that are paraded out in front of us as scary turban-wearing people who are out to kill us, it turns out that there are ulterior motives that are going on that are trying to demonize certain peoples in certain parts of the world for certain political agendas, and this is one example of it. And there are other examples, and I would suggest that people take a look at this post on MediaMonarchy.com, because you've also embedded up an excellent video that includes a little bit of Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com talking about not only Adam Gadan, but some other American Al-Qaeda that, again, turn out to be Jewish and working for the ADL. So it's a very interesting scenario that's going on here. And I understand that you also have information about Jihad Jane.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
That's right. So, and what ties in with this, and again, that's why we kind of do the data mining, because we can look and see that these things all seem to happen at appropriate times for appropriate reasons. Philly woman charged with supporting terrorists. I don't know a whole hell of a lot about this story. They're calling her Jihad Jane. She is also from Pennsylvania. And the interesting thing is that she was arrested last October 15th. But the authorities only found it worthwhile to announce this to us as all of this homegrown errorism starts to rear its ugly head again with Adam Gadan and something that we don't have time to touch on here, but that's, of course, the story of John Patrick Bedell, the 9/11 conspiracy theorist who's also a crazed murderer. We don't have time to get into any of that stuff, James. We're probably just going to have to move to our next story. But again, what we try and do here is lay out the path so folks can do more research for themselves.
Exactly. And you do have more information about Bedell posted up on MediaMonarchy.com, so everyone should go and check that out. But right now, let's move along to story number two, which is from FoodWorldOrder.com.
Yes. So a story written by Cassandra Anderson and posted up coming from InfoWars, Water Wars, the Endangered Western States. And it begins with the three primary tools used by the globalists to implement Agenda 21's sustainable development. And again, Agenda 21 is something we can't fully explain here. The links are there for you to do the research for yourself. But basically, when you hear Agenda 21, you should think eugenics. Beginning again, three primary tools used by the globalists to implement Agenda 21's sustainable development are the Endangered Species Act, water shortages, and man-made global warming. California is already stitched up by the cap-and-trade state law based on the corrupt science coming out of the United Nations. Last spring, the Department of the Interior cut Central Valley Project water by 90% to the farms in the Central Valley, the breadbasket of America, providing 50% of America's fruits, vegetables, and nuts. This all based on the Endangered Species Act, claiming that the Delta smelt fish were threatened. This goes on further, and it's basically restricting water. It's causing a man-made drought. And if the eighth largest economy in the world, that being California, if they can be brought to their knees by the fraudulent science of the United Nations, again, the same folks who brought us the anthropogenic global warming hysteria, they're now going to restrict water. And again, these are the kind of things that really sparked me to start FoodWorldOrder.com, which actually I believe just this last week celebrated its first birthday. So those are the kind of stories that we track on Food World Order. James, do you have something?
Yeah, well, first, happy birthday to FoodWorldOrder.com. It's a great resource, and I hope people out there are using it. But this is an extremely important part of the agenda, and I'm glad that we do have sites like FoodWorldOrder.com tracking it, because once again, we see that the United Nations is using what is a genuine problem, and there are billions of people around the world for whom access to fresh water is a key and daily and critical issue. But of course, the trick here is not to make that more available, but to restrict its access so that more people have problems accessing water, and it just creates more of a problem which they can use to offer more of their solution, which creates more of a problem in turn, and it's a vicious cycle. So obviously, things like this only serve to increase their control, and I hope people will go and read that original posting on Food World Order and also follow the link back to the original article, because it gets into more information about this, and it's extremely interesting. But as we're running out of time, let's move right along to our third story on cyberspace war.
And our third story, I think, relates to what we covered as our third story in the previous episode of The New World Next Week and how it relates to Internet access and alternative news. The majority of the world believes Internet access is a fundamental right. This coming from the BBC. Almost 4 in 5 people around the world believe that access to the Internet is a fundamental right. A poll from BBC and conducted by a company called GlobeScan. The survey of more than 27,000 adults across 26 countries found strong support for net access on both sides of the digital divide. Countries such as Finland and Estonia have already ruled that net access is a human right for their citizens, and international bodies such as the aforementioned United Nations are also pushing for universal net access. The right to communicate cannot be ignored. The Internet is the most powerful potential source of enlightenment ever created, Secretary General of the International Telecommunication Union. So this survey, again, and you can download the PDF and get all the links and everything that tie into this. James, I would say this is another positive net story as we see the death of print and mainstream corporate-controlled media, that people want their news online, and they believe, rightfully so, that it is a fundamental right, James.
I agree. Well, certainly I think it is a fundamental right to have access to the Internet. How about you?
Absolutely. I would say it's a fundamental right as being able to go to the library.
then it's decided it is a fundamental right, and everyone out there has to fight for it in order to keep things like what you're watching right now online. And definitely we have to fight for access to the internet and fight to keep it open and free. So once again, James Evan Pilato, thank you again for going through all of this.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.